Hey everybody, Josh Peck here. Did you know that alien life could possibly exist, maybe, perhaps, on a giant super Earth that's 30 trillion miles from home? We got to talk about this because I'm curious to know what the motivation behind this these kinds of headlines are. But also, I want to know what you think. Do you think that alien life might actually exist out there? And if it does, what would it take for you to accept it? Would it take nothing more than some dust storm or some rainstorm of methane that some news agencies have put out as quote unquote proof of alien life, or would you require something more? What would you require? That's what I want to know. Hey, if you haven't had a chance to do so, please subscribe to this channel. Please click the bell for notifications. And just know that YouTube is constantly messing with us. They just do it. You know, we're Christian, we're conservative. YouTube doesn't like it. So unfortunately, it's just how it goes. We get a lot of complaints about things that we have no control over, specifically, you know, why people aren't getting notified, you know, the ads, a whole bunch of stuff that just we don't have any control over. So listen, what you can do to help is you can just watch the videos. You can go to joshpeckdisclosure.com. That is your central hub for everything we do. You can bookmark this page. You can subscribe. You can click the bell, and you can just keep watching the videos. Because what most people do is they rely on YouTube notifying them that a new video has gone up. But the problem is YouTube usually does not notify subscribers that a new video is up. So I have something like 56 or 57,000 subscribers right now at the time of this recording, and I figure about 10% actually gets notifications from the feedback that I've received, from the research that I've done, from the communication I've even had with YouTube, and we've done videos about that before too. So it's important to just watch the videos. Whatever you do with the ads, I don't care. You know, if you want to get an ad blocker, that's fine. If you want to sit and watch them, if you want to click on them, that's fine too. People have asked me before, what is the best way to support this channel? When it comes to ads, I really don't know. So, you know, look into it yourself. I'm not too concerned with ads, but watch the videos. That's how you can help. Okay, alien life, according to Fox News, may exist on giant super Earth 30 trillion miles from home. So this article states that ET might actually be out there, scientists have said in a shocking new development. Is it shocking? Are you shocked? Is this a new development? I mean, we've been hearing about this stuff for at least a decade and a half, maybe two decades. Is it really shocking, and is it a new development? And listen, I don't want to be too critical of Fox News because they're one of the few very, well, really the only mainstream news agencies that'll actually take a conservative approach on things, so I appreciate that. But at the same time, come on, what are we dealing with here? It says, E.T., he might just live on a planet 30 trillion miles from Earth. A new paper published by astrophysicists at Villanova University suggests that the planet that orbits Barnard's star, known as Barnard B, could have the potential for extraterrestrial life if water exists on the planet. Now listen, couldn't you say that about any planet? The moon has potential for extraterrestrial life if there's water on the moon. Mars has potential if there's water on Mars. It's an ongoing thing. Okay, so it's a further off planet. If we don't even know for sure that there's water on Mars, how are we going to have any chance of knowing that water is going to be on this Barnard B planet? It's ridiculous. But you know why headlines like this are so popular? It's because people are searching for, really, they're searching for God, but they don't know that they're searching for God. They're searching for something bigger than themselves, something that tells them that there is more meaning to life than what life has offered them than their own experience. We all know intrinsically, and I think, you know, we as Christians, we should have a better handle on this than anybody, but we know that we as human beings, there's more to life than just what we experience. You know, I can pass 10 people on the road when I'm driving to work or whatever, and all those people have individual lives. And I pass by them. I don't know anything about their lives. I could even live in the same town as them, and I don't know anything about their lives. But same with them. They have their own life, and they don't know anything about me. Same with you at home right now. You are living your own individual life where you are the star of that story. Fine. I'm doing the same thing. You know, we all are. So we're all searching for something that is above that, that can help explain that. And somehow humanity has just kind of got it in its head that if there is life on other planets, if we can discover that, especially intelligent life, then that will add more meaning to our life. Because we know intrinsically that our lives have a lack of meaning. And mostly it's because either we have the wrong understanding of God or we have rejected God. Now, we as Christians, if we're fully Christian and we, you know, we fully embrace Jesus and we understand the whole scheme of everything, then that might not be as much of a struggle for us. But we can understand why the world would think so. And we can understand why headlines like this get so many clicks, get so many views. And that's why people click on it. And I'll tell you what. I even title some of my videos that same way. Christina, my wife, who handles everything on the back end on this channel, she titles some videos that way. But it's not to get clicks, it's to evangelize. It's because we know that if we have a really provocative title, then maybe a non-Christian will click on that, and maybe they'll get just enough dose of Jesus where they'll become a Christian, where they can be eternally saved, and where we get to meet them in heaven. Wouldn't that be nice? But that's why these headlines are so engaging. Me and Derek, I dedicated a whole chapter to this in a book that Derek Gilbert and I wrote together called The Day the Earth Stands Still. If you want to go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, you can find it there. But why these headlines are so powerful. So even Fox News, even though they're more conservative than, say, you know, CNN, MSNBC, all these others, they'll still do this because they know that people are clicking on it. If people are clicking on it, that gives us a lot of opportunity to evangelize. We just need to know what their fascination with aliens is. It's because they're trying to fill a hole that everybody has if they don't have Jesus, if they don't have God. So it says, it talks about this. There's a direct quote from Edward Gunin in a statement said, quote, geothermal heating could support, quote, life zones, end quote, under its surface, akin to subsurface lakes found in Antarctica, end quote. You know, I'll tell you what, we don't even really know for a fact that there's life in Antarctica. You know, there's been little hints here and there, but we don't really know what life is there. So geothermal heating that could support life zones under its surface in this exoplanet, light years, you know, whatever, very far away, is we can't visit it. That's evidence enough for some people to say that life could be here. It says the temperature in Barnard B is similar to Jupiter's moon Europa at roughly 238 degrees below zero, but given the likely presence of ocean on the Jupiter lunar satellite, the astrophysicists are holding out hope the newly discovered planet may also harbor oceans. Gunin also added, quote, we note that the surface temperature on Jupiter's icy moon Europa is similar to Barnard B, but because of tidal heating, Europa probably has liquid oceans under its icy surface. End quote. So for comparison purposes, rubber freezes below negative 98 degrees Fahrenheit. Human blood freezes below negative 2 degrees Celsius and negative 3 degrees Celsius. If you want that in terms of Fahrenheit, negative 98 degrees Fahrenheit is the same as negative 72 degrees Celsius. Now, Gunin, who worked on the paper alongside Scott Engel, presented the findings at the American Astronomy Society, AAS, in Seattle last Thursday. So there's been a lot of speculation about this. I mean, it seems like every couple of months, or maybe even every couple of weeks, there's some new exoplanet that's found. There's some new reason for people to believe that there's life on other planets. And the typical belief is that if there's life on other planets, well, they must be more advanced than we are. Now, listen, I'm not saying that it's impossible that there could not be life on other planets. Maybe there is. You know, I think the objections to life on other planets, they're actually, if you look at the history of those objections, they're pretty weak. For example, the objection that, well, if there's life on other planets, then Jesus would have had to die on the cross on every single one of those planets. Did you know that argument actually came from somebody who was mocking Christianity, a non-Christian, a non-believer, and they were using that to mock Christianity? That is something that me and Derek Gilbert, we document in the book, The Day the Earth Stands Still. We explain the whole history of that. And actually, in true biblical theology, it provides room. I'll say it that way. It provides room for extraterrestrial life. It doesn't prove it. And it doesn't disprove it. So it does not say that there is extraterrestrial life. There may not be. There very well may not be. But it also doesn't say that there's not. And every objection that is brought out, Derek and I get into in that book, and we explain how, well, the Bible doesn't really teach this type of theology. This was brought up by some other means. But here's the thing. What I actually believe is if there are other beings on other planets, I believe they're probably humanoid. I actually think they would probably look human, but I think that they would be less advanced than us. I think we would be the invading aliens. Now, why do I say that? You know, there's a certain part of me that wants to take the creation account in Genesis literally. At least to a point, you know, I mean, because obviously there's poetry involved, there's metaphor involved, there's a lot of nuanced things that you have to look into with the culture of the time. All right, we get all that, but we don't hear about any other species. The only other species of being that we hear about that came before us are angels. You know, we get the heavens and the earth, but in Job, we read about the B'nai Ha Elohim, the sons of God, who shouted for joy when God created the earth. So it would seem like, and I could be wrong, maybe there is a more technologically advanced race than us, but I could be wrong, but it would seem like, besides angels, in physical existence, in our physical universe, you would be led to believe that we were the first. Now, I preface that by saying, or what's the opposite of preface? Suffix? I conclude that with saying the Bible really doesn't say one way or another. If there was a more advanced race and they've been around for like a million years longer than us, that fits within the Bible perfectly fine. It doesn't contradict anything. It just doesn't. But it doesn't. The Bible doesn't explicitly say that there's going to be races like that out in the cosmos either. You know, it's just kind of silent about it. So, and again, for those who want to say, oh, well, I know that the Bible says that. Either ask me directly, and because I'm not using this to try to pitch a book. I mean, you should get the book, but if you're genuinely seeking answers and you really want to know what this position is, I'll give it to you for free. I always do. You know, I've been accused on by a couple of trolls, you know, saying that I'm just in it for the money, or I'm selling the gospel. I'll tell you what, if I'm in it for the money, boy, did I pick the wrong profession. but seriously. You message me, I will give you the information that I have, and you're free to disagree with it. That is fine, but I will say that if you're going to disagree with the points I actually make. Let's not do the ad hominem straw man argument dance. Let's dispel with that. Let's actually have a real conversation. So you can disagree, and that's fine. But you know, the thing with me is I don't really hold too strong to any of this. I could see a scenario playing out. What I run through in my head is I know at some point I am going to have to leave this earth and I'm going to have to face God. I'm going to have to face him face to face. And there's going to be a conversation involved with that. A lot of that is going to be how I lived my life, you know, what my relationship with Jesus was like, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, I believe that there's going to be a part of it where we could probably just talk openly and I could ask him stuff. I think when I'm in the brilliance of the Lord, I don't think I'm going to care about any of this, you know, this other fringe stuff. But let's say just hypothetically I do. If I ask Jesus in that moment, if I ask him, okay, did you create anything other than human beings? And he said, well, actually, you know, I did millions of years before I created human beings. And, you know, it was kind of a precursor to what human beings would be or, you know, whatever he might say. Or if he says, you know what, I did. I created these other beings on other planets 1,000 years after human beings. Or if he says, no, I didn't create anything in physical existence that is intelligent and conscious of their own existence except human beings. Any of those scenarios, I could see it playing out that way, and I would just be fine with it. It'd be interesting, and I would want to know more, no matter which scenario plays out, but I would be okay with it. I can't see having a problem with any of that, because none of it contradicts what the Bible actually teaches. The Bible isn't like, it's not a science book. It's not an, you know, astronomical book of the cosmos. You know, you can get little pinpoints of stuff here and there about that, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is to teach us who God is, how to attain salvation, how we as human beings can be redeemed unto the Lord, and how we can share an eternity with him. And in light of that, all these other questions, while they may seem important to us, in light of eternity, they're not really that important. Now, and I'm saying this as somebody who bases his entire channel on Bible prophecy, on the weird fringe things. And listen, I always try to do my best to promote the big picture part of all of this. Jesus Christ is the big picture. You're not the big picture. I'm not the big picture. No human being is. Jesus Christ is. Yes, technically he was fully human, fully God. I get that. Besides that, though, besides that exception to the rule, no human being is. You're not. I'm not. So it's all about God, and it's all about Jesus. All these other questions, we can talk about them. It's not sinful to. We should talk about them. I mean, but at the same time, what's most important? That we love each other. You know, it's not most important that we fight about them. That to me is just so ignorant and just so antithetical to what the Bible teaches. Do you think Jesus really cares about this stuff? How much does he care? In light of who he is and what he's done for us, dying on the cross for us, how much does he care about what we think about life on other planets? It just doesn't matter that much. It doesn't matter so much that we're willing to divide and split against each other based on this question. That, to me, I think that is the big offense. I don't care if a Christian believes in aliens. That's fine. You know, whatever. The bigger offense is when a Christian doesn't believe in aliens and then they divide against other Christians who do because they think that somehow it's anti-biblical. We need to get some unity back in the church. Does that mean we're going to agree on everything? No, of course not. Of course we're not going to agree on everything. But we're actually commanded in the Bible to have love for one another. We cannot know the love of God unless we love each other. So if you're not loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sorry, you can't love God. That's what it says in the scripture. How you can't. You can't. So do we love only those who agree with us? No. We love those who have accepted Jesus Christ, despite any other differences we might have with them. That is the most important thing right there. We love God with all our mind, body, heart, soul, all that stuff. But we have to do that for one another too. When Jesus prayed to the Father, that was his prayer, that we would have so much unity that the world would see that and know that that was the unity that the Son had with the Father, that Jesus had with Yahweh, with the Father. We don't have anywhere close to that. Shouldn't we try to fulfill that one prayer that Jesus had after everything he's given to us? Shouldn't we try to get along despite our differences, knowing we're going to have differences? Shouldn't we at least try to do that? I would say so. All right. Listen, I would love to know what you think about this. Leave me a comment in the comment section below. And if you haven't had a chance to do so, please subscribe to this channel. Click on the bell for notifications and keep checking back at joshpeckdisclosure.com. I also want to know what you think about alien life in the universe. I completely understand the position that there is no alien life. And there are various aspects of that that I agree with. It's a big mystery. So I don't hold it against anybody if they don't believe in aliens or if they do believe in aliens. I understand both sides and I get where they're coming from. Just right now, it's a mystery. That's kind of how I look at it. But I want to know what you think. So leave me a comment in the comment section below. Subscribe. Keep checking back joshpeckdisclosure.com. And hey, I would like to invite you to the Hear the Watchmen Conference. You've got to check this out. This is going to be so much fun. 2019, at the end of March 2019, you can get your tickets and come to Dallas. Come and meet me. Come and meet Stephen Bancars and L.A. Marzulli and a whole bunch of other speakers. If you use the promo code Josh20, you can get $20 off your ticket. Click on the link in the description below if you're viewing this on YouTube. Click on that link or just go to hearthewatchmen.com, M-E-N, and you will see a link up at the top for Dallas 2019. Click on that. You can get your tickets there. Josh20, J-O-S-H-2-0. That is your promo code to get $10 off of your ticket. I would love to meet you. And hey, if you got a differing opinion, come and tell me in person. I would love to have a conversation with you. I highly promote that type of thinking and discussion within the church. So I can't wait to see you there. All right, everybody, this has been a lot of fun. I guess that's it. Until next time, this has been Peck Report. I am Josh Peck. Take care and God bless.